The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As you know, the UN Security Council yesterday voted to terminate the UNIFIL peacekeeping forces in southern Lebanon. The operation in which Irish peacekeepers have been involved with for decades will be brought to a close before 2027. We'll talk about that in a moment. But of course, the breaking news is that the IDF has declared Gaza City a combat zone. In other words, there is no area that is safe for people within that city. I'm joined on the line by Cathal Berry, former TD, former member of the Defence Forces. Cathal, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
First of all, that declaration by the IDF that Gaza City is now a combat zone, as if it wasn't a combat zone before, and knowing what they have done to Gaza City. But what is the significance of that for those left within the city?
Well, basically, presumably this is a tactic by the Netanyahu government to give them a false excuse for causing civilian casualties and fatalities over the coming days and weeks, because they'll say, well, look, we told everybody this was a serious combat zone. We advised them to leave, and therefore it is their own fault if they get injured or killed. And that's a very grim way of passing responsibility, or falsely passing responsibility, for casualties and fatalities onto the civilian population. So a very, very odd pretext being created here for causing more casualties, but not unconnected to the UN Security Council meeting yesterday either. So Israel now, or the Netanyahu government, have about 16 months to what they would describe as settle matters on the southern border, and before they start switching to the northern border in about 16 months' time when UNIFIL withdraws. So it's a very, very dangerous escalation.
Now, explain to us the politics of what happened in the Security Council. I mean, there were 15 members, a unanimous vote in favour of standing down the UNIFIL mission by 2027 and replacing that UNIFIL mission with the Lebanese army. You don't expect the United States and Russia and China and the rest of them to agree on everything, but there were no demurrals.
No, correct. So basically, the Trump administration would be a major sponsor of Israel. So Israel doesn't sit on the Security Council currently. That's 15 members, five of which are permanent. But the Trump administration would be a major backer of Israel. So Israel doesn't want UNIFIL there. So they would have advocated through the United States for its removal. And every 12 months, the UNIFIL mandate needs to be legally renewed. And that mandate was meant to end on Sunday. So all the other members of the Security Council were told, well, look, the mandate can end chaotically on Sunday, or this is a compromise solution which will allow us to move and withdraw in a phased and orderly manner over the next 24 months or so. So obviously, naturally, the reasonable, moderate, rational people in the Security Council said this is a better solution than a chaotic withdrawal on Monday morning. So unfortunately, it was a Hobson's choice, and they chose the lesser evil.
Mm. So Israel, the puppeteer again of the United States, it's quite extraordinary that such a country with a small population has such an incredible influence over what happens. And I presume we'd never know this because it would be behind the scenes. You would have presumably threats from the Trump administration representative on the Security Council to smaller countries about trade. We'll screw you on trade if you don't toe the line with America.
That is absolutely the case. So this is the behind-the-scenes horse trading that would take place. And we know the transactional nature of geopolitics at the moment. I have absolutely no doubt that the Trump administration would have said, OK, we're prepared to extend the mandate for another year or two, but these are our conditions. This is what we want in return. We've no idea that Ireland have to trade or horse trade something in return for that, and we probably will never know, but this is the nature of international politics. The perception of the Security Council is this a holistic, well-meaning council of elders is completely false. There are 15 countries, five in particular, who will use this forum to squeeze and exercise their national priorities from a geopolitical point of view.
So there was no help from any quarter for those who would like to continue, for the safety of the Lebanese, to continue that UNIFIL regime?
There would have been. So France was leading the charge in supporting the wishes of the host nation, which is Lebanon. Lebanon is a key player here. They want the UNIFIL mission to remain. But France obviously took it upon themselves, with the support of Ireland, Austria and other smaller countries, to advocate for for reasonable and a moderate solution. So France is a nuclear power, has a large army. And when you're interacting with the Trump administration currently, you need to have hard power to be taken seriously. So we're very fortunate that France, the closest EU country to us, advocated on behalf of Ireland, just like America advocated on behalf of Israel.
What do you think will be the impact on the defence forces of this withdrawal from the UNIFIL mission?
Obviously, the main focus is the adverse impact it will have on the people of Lebanon. But for sure, the second order effects on the defence forces will be profound as well. Ireland has been there for about 50 years, give or take a small period in the early noughties. So three generations of Irish soldiers have served in Lebanon. And it has been a proving ground for a long time, where our techniques and our tactics have been improved. And it really has been a catalyst in professionalising the Irish defence forces in the last 50 years. Now, that said, an operational pause for the defence tempo would not be such a bad thing either. So the military chiefs will take full advantage of this opportunity. So they can switch focus to other missions, like, for instance, South Sudan, or they can reinforce the missions in Bosnia and Kosovo that Ireland currently has troops in, or we can focus more on Eastern Europe on our own continent. But also just to take a bit of time to come up for air and take a breath and actually look at the reform and the modernisation of our own defence forces and focus on territorial defence as
now,
well.
There was a little clip of the Taoiseach Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Harris, in the news, but I can give you a little bit longer on this when he's coming up with this proposal on his way into informal meetings of defence ministers in Copenhagen in Denmark. And this is the possibility of training by Irish troops for Lebanese armed forces.
I think it's really important that the time now that exists between now and the end of 2027 is used and used well in terms of supporting the Lebanese armed forces. And I certainly intend to discuss with colleagues here today how the European Union can consider using our mechanisms in terms of providing training and support for the Lebanese armed forces. We've already done it in relation to Ukraine. We've done it in relation to Bosnia. And I think we really need to see now under the CDSP what we could do usefully to try and train and support the Lebanese armed forces. Certainly Ireland would be willing to have that conversation, and I look forward to starting that conversation and in the coming weeks tabling a paper to propose that Europe would consider a training mission specifically to help the Lebanese armed forces increase their capabilities in the time ahead.
Does that make sense to you, Carl, that proposal?
Yes, 100%. And that would have come from from military advice and from our diplomatic service. It makes absolutely excellent sense. Nation building and capacity building for the security forces of any country is a very important function. And we've done it before, as the Taoiseach has said there. If we're expecting the Lebanese armed forces to take over the sole provider of security on the Israel Lebanon border, then they need to improve their capacity for sure. There's about 80,000 troops in the Lebanese armed forces, but they don't have the equipment or the expertise to, dismantle Hezbollah. Hezbollah is a smaller force than the Lebanese armed forces, but it's far more effective and it's battle-hardened. And the idea that the Lebanese armed forces will be able to dismantle or disarm Hezbollah is farcical at the moment.
But it's also the problem that Hezbollah is embedded in the Lebanese government. So, you've the army being ordered by the Minister for Defence to do a certain job. But meantime, there would be those within government who would want it not to do that job.
Yeah, correctly. And that shows how complex the situation is. And, you know, one of the conditions on the Security Council extension or the mandate extension was the Lebanese armed forces will dismantle and disarm Hezbollah. And, you know, being familiar enough with the situation there, that could very easily be a pretext for Israeli military action in 16 months' time, because they will say that we gave you the opportunity to dismantle, you didn't, and now we have to take matters into our own hands and settle it with the gun. And let's be clear, though, dismantling Hezbollah is going to be extremely difficult. Even the Israeli military, the Israeli Defense Force, has tried that a number of times over the last 50 years and have also failed. So when people complain about UNIFIL weren't able to do it using peaceful means, certainly the Israeli Defense Force weren't able to do it either using military means.
The decision has been greeted in some quarters, you know, military families and so on, as an insult to those who died in the service of the United Nations in Lebanon. A slap on the face, if you like. Could it this decision be reversed by the General Assembly, or is that it? Game over?
So it can't be reversed by the General Assembly, but you do raise an interesting point. There could be a subsequent UN Security Council resolution in 12 months' time, further extending the mandate. So the Trump administration could change their mind, or the operational situation in the Middle East could change in the next 12 months. So the hard deadline at the moment is the 31st of December 2026, so the end of next year. The operational activities of UNIFIL must be wound down, but that could change in 12 months' time. Now, I should say it's highly unlikely to change, and I think this timetable will stick. But you raise an interesting point that, in theory, it is entirely possible for a different United Nations Security Council mandate in 12 months' time to alter this timeline. However, nothing from the General Assembly can overrule the UN Security Council. The clue is in the name. They're the sole forum that can authorize the use of force or a military deployment.
Now, we know that the United States is the great funder of the Israeli war effort. I mean, it's reckoned that at least two-thirds of what is spent by Israel on arms and bombs and bullets and so on is supplied by the United States. But, you know, it's a small country with a population now. I think it finally reached 10 million in recent months, the population officially of Israel. But they have a reserve army. I mean, and they're coping with what's going on in the West Bank, which needs security. They have an ongoing tension with Iran. They've got Lebanon. They have Yemen. And they have Gaza, the destruction of Gaza, which is underway. I mean, how stretched are they?
Yes, they are very stretched. And that is another interesting point, Pat, because there's a bit of pushback now. Like, we're under the perception that Israel is a homogenous society, and it certainly isn't, just like our own society here. The leader of the Israeli Defense Force is actually pushing back publicly on Netanyahu, saying that they shouldn't be invading Gaza City, and that the politicians should accept the peace deal and the hostage release deal that's currently on the table. That's unprecedented from an Israeli point of view. There's large protests there, and the families of the hostages are very, very anti-Israel, very anti the current right-wing Netanyahu government. And we have to bear in mind that it is a democratic society, and elections are due in course as well. So there are points of pressure from inside Israel that could be brought to bear. But your point in relation to the American military supplying munitions and weapons to the Israeli Defense Force. And this is one of the key problems in the Middle East, that Netanyahu will never negotiate with somebody because Israel has such military dominance in the Middle East. And their view is, why should you negotiate for 50% of what you want when you can just militarily crush your opponent and get 100% of what you want? So until the supply of arms and munitions to Israel is used as a point of leverage and wound down, then this unfortunate pattern will continue.
Cathal Berry, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.